Hello and welcome to this edition of Community Connections. I am your host, Chuck Curlin. Today, we are joined by Patricia King. She is the Manager of Community Engagement at PICO, and we'll be discussing the PICO Bill Assistance Program. Patricia, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Welcome. I mean, thank you very much. It's so great to be here.
Well, it's nice to have you, especially this topic, because you're going to be able to share a lot of information that can help families that are viewing.
Absolutely.
Give us a little idea of this program with PICO, how it came about and how you got involved with it.
Wow, okay. So the way it came about is it's called Universal Services Programs. And the premise there is really kind of like universal healthcare, and that everyone in this country should have access to affordable utility service. You know, if you have a home, you should have utility service. You can't really manage a home or a household without it. So that's really what the suite of programs are designed to do, to provide affordable utility service for our customers.
And this position, did you create it or did you work into it?
Wow, that's a really good question. So it was created, my position was created in 2019 because we realized that there was a need to have a department specifically dedicated towards awareness, access, and enrollment in our assistance programs. And that's where community engagement, I'm the manager of community engagement, so that was created at PICO. I was in charge of creating a whole team, hiring folks, and getting us to where we are now, like almost 6 years later. We're definitely a very robust team. We do a lot of outreach events. We have a lot of community partners. And really, the goal is making sure that people are aware. And I kind of look at it as like building blocks, right? So awareness. You can't do anything unless first you're aware, and then access. You need to have access to get into these programs, and then finally enrollment, because that's really the ultimate goal, is to get customers enrolled in our various suite of assistance programs.
So to share this information, is there, how many, you mentioned a team, how many people are a part of this team that go out and spread the good word?
We have about, so on my team, I have six people directly reporting to me. And then I also have a contractor who has another dozen people who work for him. And together we kind of make sure that we go out. Like in terms of numbers, last year, Chuck, we did 335 outreach events.
Wow.
And that just in 1 year. And when you think about the how many days are in a year,
you know? That's it's the first thing I thought of, you're right.
It's like we were someplace almost every day. So, and that's kind of what this team does. And we try to make sure that we have a variety of approaches. So one thing that we do is virtual enrollments. So when the pandemic hit, so prior to the pandemic, you know, everything was all in person, you know, we were out in the street. Sometimes we're in a church basement with, you know, 20 people, and sometimes we're in a school auditorium with, you know, 500 people. But COVID hit, of course, you know, everything kind of went dark for a couple of years, and we started to do virtual enrollments. And then sort of post-pandemic, of course, COVID's here to stay, but post-pandemic, we said, okay, we don't need to do virtual anymore. But we found that we're sort of in a different world, right? So customers are kind of like, they want both things. So they want in-person, some people want in-person, and some people want virtual. And so we decided to be very innovative in that way. We provide virtual appointments for customers every Tuesday from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. You can get on a Zoom. We'll work with customers one-on-one in a private room virtually. And I can't tell you how customers love this service. You know, we started to do a survey after the virtual enrollment session. And the comments that we get, so first of all, it's a 1 out of 5 scale. You can, you know, judge it 1 out of 5. We get almost fives of everything, sometimes a 4. But the verbatims, and they're saying, wow, I can't believe PICO is doing this for me. You know, PICO is state of the art. I don't have to leave my home and I can enroll in assistance programs. So I just say that to say that, you know, we understand that we need to continue to evolve. We need to continue to be innovative as the way we engage our customers.
Right. And I know PICO is part of Exelon, right?
Yes.
What I'm just more curious on my end. Uh-huh. What does PICO stand for, and how? What's that relationship like?
That is such a good question. So PICO is an Exelon company. So Exelon is the parent company, and there are a variety of different companies under there, like ComEd in Chicago, Atlantic City Electric in New Jersey, BG&E and Baltimore Gas and Electric, et cetera. So Exelon is the parent company, and PICO is one of the family of companies that report up to Exelon. PICO does not stand for anything, P-E-C-O. So a lot of people think it does.
I would have said like the Pennsylvania Electric Company Organization.
So if you look at it, the origin of it, when PICO was founded, it was the Philadelphia Electric Company.
Okay.
And so then, but we're more than Philadelphia. We're here in Upper Marion Township, so we're outside of the city of Philadelphia, and we're more than just electric. We provide electric and gas. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, so calling us the Philadelphia Electric Company took away the counties and also the other commodity of gas. And so PICO was formed. And you would think it would be PECO, Philadelphia Electric Company, but it doesn't stand for anything. It's just a name.
Wow. See, and that's what I would have assumed. I'm glad I asked. Because
yeah.
I've always seen Exelon and mm-hmm. PICO, and do they compete with one another?
No,
you wouldn't know.
No.
So say if I lived in Atlantic City mm-hmm. and I moved to Upper Marion Township,
yes.
would that be an easy transition because they
yes.
fall under that
mm-hmm.
umbrella?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So yes, because that's one of the Exelon family of companies.
Wow. So
yes.
you learn something new every
yes.
day. That's a
yes.
good thing.
Yes. Yeah.
So when you're out and you're doing these, different... like variety of
outreach events.
Mm-hmm. What seems to be the thing that hits homes the most? Like, is there one thing that you say, wow, I have to keep driving this point home because it's getting that attention?
What hits home the most is that a lot of customers don't know that assistance is available. And so we have at PICO a very comprehensive complementary suite of programs. And I use those words very distinctly. So by comprehensive, we have ongoing assistance programs. Mm-hmm. We have usage reduction programs. We have situational assistance. We have grant programs, hardship programs. So it's very comprehensive. So it kind of like this suite of programs will take you from unaffordable to affordability. And then complementary, when you're in one program, we're targeting you for another program. So it's kind of like, we now know that you're low income, and hey, now you can get in our CAP program, for example. And just to talk about our CAP program, I wanna kind of drive this home. So that's where the ongoing assistance comes, right? Any customer who is 150% of the federal poverty level or below qualifies for CAP. Now you're like, okay, what does that mean?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, what are you talking about? It's really, really simple. There's a chart, and if you go to our website, you'll see it at pico.com/help. There's a chart that gives the federal poverty level, the federal poverty levels. And just as the name indicates, these numbers come out from the federal government. So these aren't PICO numbers, these are the federal government. This is the federal government. And so every year, the administration that is in power, they do a lot of different calculations and they kind of come out with the federal poverty levels for that year. And those numbers come out in a January-ish timeframe every year. And so those are the numbers we use. And the way they determine it is how many people are in your household, what's your total household income? So just those two things. Mm-hmm. So a household that makes, for example, a household of four whose monthly income is $3,900 a month or less will qualify.
Gotcha.
If that they had five people in the household, that number goes up. Fewer people, the number goes down. So it's just kind of a sliding scale. And you'd be surprised at how many people actually qualify for these programs. If you look at LIHEAP, which I don't know if you're familiar with, but LIHEAP stands for Low Income Home Energy Assistance Program. And LIHEAP is a federal grant program. All 50 states get a piece of the pie, right? So mm-hmm. it's a bucket of money. It's not an entitlement, it's a part of the appropriations process. So every year money has to be appropriated, but nonetheless, there's this bucket of money. And since every state gets a piece of the pie, Pennsylvania, we get the third largest allocation out of all 50 states, which means there's a lot of poverty in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
So that's not actually a good thing, but it is something to be aware of. So the fact that out of all 50 states, we get the third largest allocation, there's a lot of poverty in the state of Pennsylvania. Then if you bring it home closer to the city of Philadelphia, I know we're not in Philadelphia, but that's the anchor city, if you will. Amongst large cities, Philadelphia has the most poverty in the nation.
Wow.
And so those two, I like to use those two statistics because I think it kind of drives home the fact that we have, unfortunately, a lot of poverty. And that means we have an opportunity and actually an obligation to have programs to assist customers. Because when you're talking about poverty and energy insecurity, you're really talking about a spiral of other societal ills that come as a result of that. And so utility service is critical. It's not a nice to have, it's not a diamond ring or a fur coat. It's a requirement, you know, like just like healthcare. You know, if you're sick, you need healthcare.
Right.
If you are in a household, you need utility service. You know, it's a safety thing, it's a lot of different things. So that's really kind of why we have these programs, to make sure that we provide affordable service to our customers.
And it's much appreciated. You were telling us a lot about some of the assistance programs. LIHEAP was one that really caught my attention.
Okay.
Could you expand a little bit more on that to let our viewers know like how things fall into place with LIHEAP?
Sure, absolutely. So I think I mentioned that LIHEAP is a federal grant program. It is not an entitlement. It's a part of the appropriations process. So what does that mean? That means that Congress has to appropriate money to it. And so that means we have to lobby for LIHEAP funding. And so we have this thing called LIHEAP Action Day, where we go down to Washington, D.C., myself and folks who do what I do all across the country, and we meet with the senators and Congress people who represent our service territory to say, hey, we really need this money. Give them kind of some anecdotal information, some examples of customers and things like that to encourage them to appropriate funding and support funding for LIHEAP. LIHEAP is so important. Again, out of all 50 states, Pennsylvania gets the third largest allocation. And customers can get grants up to $1,000. They don't have to be delinquent on their bill.
Okay.
And they can get up to $1,000. We have a lot of folks who feel like, well, I don't need it, you know, because even though they qualify, and especially elderly people who are reluctant, please, we encourage everyone to apply for this funding. It's free money towards your PICO bill. If you are not delinquent, it'll go as credit to future bills. And you can get this money. Every year, millions of dollars are left on the table. So that's really the thing that I like to drive home. LIHEAP is a seasonal program. It opens in November of every year and closes in April. Sometimes it's open earlier or later, depending on the year. But for the most part, that's when it's open. So it's going to open soon. You know, November's coming up.
To apply for it, is it fairly simple? Is it an easy process?
Yes, it's a fairly simple process. And PICO offers a LIHEAP hotline. So 1-800-34-HELP-4, 1-800-34-HELP-4. Mm-hmm. And you can get all of the information there. We also put information on our website at pico.com/LIHEAP. You can get the LIHEAP application there. We provide a lot of support for LIHEAP. Anything that you need, you can reach out to us. You can call us at that number, go on our website, and we'll provide the support that's needed.
So how about if I was a customer and I applied, but I was rejected, or I wasn't qualified? What happens there?
Very good question. You're really good with your questions.
I just am locked. Every blind squirrel can find a nut.
So if you happen to be over the guidelines for LIHEAP and you cannot get a LIHEAP grant, there are other programs that PICO has that is, they're not income based. Because let's face it, even if you're not income eligible, you're not low income, you may have some situation, life happens, right? And you need a little bit of help. So you could get a payment arrangement, and a payment arrangement would take whatever you owe and spread it out over a period of time, you know, up to 5 years. And that will help you to keep your service on. If you have a medical issue at your home, you can get what we call a med cert or a medical certificate, and that will stay a termination for 30 days. So that'll give you some time to get yourself together, and you can have that renewed twice, so that's up to 90 days. Mm-hmm. If you have a situation where you have a protection from abuse order, you know, the household, that can also stay a termination, so the service is not terminated, to give you time to get things in order. We work with a lot of other social service agencies that have various forms of funding for different groups, veterans, etc. So there are other things that we can do if the customer is not low income. Good question.
Yeah, because the first thing I thought of it is it seasonal? What I mean by that is, like, mm-hmm. say in the wintertime, mm-hmm. and say you lost your job, you're out of work, you can't pay, but it's 0 degrees out. Mm-hmm. If you're not getting gas, your furnace isn't firing up, what happens then?
What happens is you will call us, and I like to say, you know, 9 times out of 10, there's something we can do. You know, there are always those customers that have had, like, you know, unfortunately, a variety of broken payment agreements and payment arrangements and things like that. But 9 times out of 10, there's something that we can do. If the customer is low income, there's almost definitely something that we can do. And by that I mean, so let's say the customer is CAP eligible. I talked before about 150% of the federal poverty level, that family of four that makes $3,900 a month. If they get on our CAP program, the first time that anyone is enrolled on CAP, the entire arrearage is forgiven.
Oh, wow.
That's a big, big deal.
That is.
So customers, and there's no limit to that. So it could be $2,000, $10,000, doesn't matter. That's forgiven. And then the customer is given a reduced bill that meets their affordability guidelines. So let's say, for example, the customer owed, you know, $10,000 and their bill every month was $250. But according to PUC affordability guidelines, they can only really afford to pay $100 a month. So what would happen is that $10,000 goes away in a PPA forgiveness, pre-program arrearage forgiveness program, and now their new bill is, and I'm trying to remember the numbers I said, their new bill is $100.
That's right.
Exactly. So their new bill would be $100, and that's more affordable for that household, and they can manage that and keep their utilities on.
Yeah, because there, like you said, there is a grid for mm-hmm. a family of 2, 4, 6.
Correct.
So obviously, the larger the family,
yes,
the rates change, right?
Correct. The larger the family, the more the family can earn in terms of looking at that FPL chart. Yes.
Okay. Now, just an off-the-wall question. You mm-hmm. like, I know you threw out a number, $10,000. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen bills that were that astronomical?
Yes.
Yeah?
Unfortunately,
wow.
Yes. Yeah. There have been, but fortunately now we don't really have that problem.
That's good.
We have been able to assist those customers, bring those arrearages down, so we don't really have very many customers with those large arrears.
And I know you mentioned earlier that Philadelphia was the largest city. What do you know what other cities were on that list?
Well, amongst large cities, Philadelphia has the most poverty in the nation. I'm trying to think of some of the other cities on the list. We're number one, unfortunately.
Yeah, which you don't want to be number one.
You know, that's not where
exactly.
You want to be number one.
The reason why I asked, I'm assuming they're all up in the Northeast. That's
pretty
that's what
much.
I figured.
You have Baltimore, and this is off memory. I'm trying to remember some of the other cities. Unfortunately, I can't really remember. I just remember us being right there at the top.
Right. Yes, exactly.
Unfortunately.
Well, I know that you have a number of other programs that
yes.
you want to share information with. One program that I forgot to ask the last was the usage reduction program.
Oh.
How does that come about? And can you explain that in its full entirety?
Sure. So it's called Low Income Usage Reduction Program, LIURP, or LIURP. Some people think that sounds funny.
It does.
Liar, Low Income Usage Reduction Program. And that is a really great program. So we, with Liar, we go in and we do a full energy audit on the home. So I'm not sure if you ever had one, but we do a blower door test where we determine why the usage is so high. And we also literally walk through the entire house with the customer, explaining to them, you know, you see that, that's costing you $30 a month. You know, you see that, spend a lot of time in the basement looking at things. And the goal is to do two things. One, see what we can do from a remediation measures to correct the usage. Maybe it's a refrigerator that's old and energy inefficient. We'll give you a brand new refrigerator, or a window air conditioning unit, or a heating unit. We'll provide all of those different things to reduce the usage. And this is for low-income customers, I should say, and all of this is free of service. There's no fee for the customer. But then the other part that I think is equally important is education. And that's the part where we're explaining to them that, you know, this is costing you this much a month, and showing them different ways that they're using their energy. Mm-hmm. So we do all of that, spend 3 or 4 hours in the household, like it's a considerable time period. We provide whatever remediation measures we need to do on our end, and then we create new usage goals. So say your usage was, you know, 1,000 kilowatt hours a month, and with the things that we're going to do and the behaviors that you're going to implement, we think that your usage should go down to 800 kilowatt hours a month, type of thing. And every month we're going to monitor that, and we're going to send you a letter. And you get one of two letters, either congratulations, you met your usage, monthly usage goals, or we call it the oops letter. Oops, you didn't meet your usage goals. If you get a couple of oops letters, we go back out and find out what's going on. Sometimes we find out that the family has expanded. You may have another member in the household, which is increasing your usage, et cetera, and we do whatever is necessary. But that is a really important program. Customers who are on our customer assistance program, they are automatically targeted for LIHRP if they have high usage. So we reach out to them proactively, but customers can also reach out to us too and say, hey, I want to be considered for a LIHRP audit to reduce my usage, because that's going to ultimately reduce your billings.
Is there a wait list for the audit? No, not at all.
No wait list.
And the other thing I thought of too is, because when I've heard of these programs, I always thought it was a way to get someone in your home to say, oh, you need insulation. And next thing you know, you're getting that whole house insulated. And I'm sure that's not an expensive thing to do, right?
No. With our LIHRP program, we spend over $10 million a year on that program. And it's really for us to go in and see why the household, because again, these are for low income, high usage. So we're trying to figure out, why is the household usage so high? It should not be that high. And again, it might be some things that you can change yourself, and some things you can't. You may not be able to afford a new refrigerator, but yet you have to have that plugged in and used, you know, 24/7. You can't ever unplug the refrigerator, for example. So that's something that we can address by giving you a new one that's energy efficient, because you had an energy inefficient unit.
So is it safe to assume if they're going to provide them with a refrigerator, like how about if a thermostat, like I know that's the big thing now, like a Nest thermostat, because it reads the room and it helps with energy. Is that something
so
that's
so it's all designed towards usage reduction.
Okay.
So a thermostat necessarily is not going to reduce the usage, so not necessarily. I wouldn't say that that's one of the measures that we would provide.
Yeah, see, I would have assumed that. That's why I asked. I was like, yeah, if the refrigerator's drawing a lot of energy, I know the thermostat with heating and air conditioning, that could be something that could fall.
It's a possibility, but it's not a part of our normal LIHRP process.
Okay. Wow. So how about if I was in a position where I was poverty stricken, what would happen then?
Then we have hardship programs.
Yes.
So that a hardship is your service is terminated or in threat of termination for non-payment. If you find yourself in a hardship, so let's say you're already on our CAP program, so you're already getting that reduced bill, mm-hmm. you've already gotten the arrearage forgiveness, now you got a LIRP audit, right? So with a LIRP audit, we've now done an energy efficiency audit on your home, so your home is better in that regard, but you still have fallen upon hard times. Something could have happened, you know, somebody passed away, got sick, like something happened, life happens. And now you're in a hardship program, a hardship situation. We have a hardship program to address that. So you could get up to $1,000 to pay that PICO bill to bring your balance back down to zero. We'll look for other resources depending on how much the arrearage is. But that is sort of, I guess, a fallback program that we have in addition to everything else that we offer.
Okay. One thing that I don't know if this falls under the same umbrella, mm-hmm. but you used to see a lot of companies like trying to get your business to mm-hmm. be your provider.
Oh, good question.
How, like, do these programs still fall into place? Say I went with, I'm trying to remember the one the Eagles promoted for a while.
Mm-hmm.
They would send letters out and mm-hmm. they would say you would get at 11 cents per kilowatt.
Yes.
And I never really took much notice to it, mm-hmm. but I'm curious, how does that fit in here?
So that's a very good question. That is, you're talking about alternate energy suppliers.
Correct, that's it.
So if you think about electricity, and I'm not gonna go too deep, but these beautiful lights here in this room and this building, for that to come on, there are three things that have to happen. First, generation. You have to generate the energy, and you can have, you know, coal, nuclear, wind, whatever. And then you have transmission. You have to get it from that generation place to the substation. And then finally, distribution. And that's the lines and wires that are in mm-hmm. the street getting the energy into the building and the home. If you get an alternate energy supplier, so I like to talk about the three-legged stool, right?
Yeah. Exelon was the one I was thinking of.
Okay.
Yes, there you go.
You get the three-legged stool. If you get an alternate energy supplier, it's just the generation. The transmission and distribution is still with PICO.
Okay.
Because nobody else has the infrastructure. So if you have an outage, you still mm-hmm. have to call PICO. You don't call your generation supplier. And also billing. Some customers think, okay, well, I'm gonna leave PICO, and the analogy I like to use is cell phone. You could go from Verizon to AT&T, and yes. you could just, you know, stiff Verizon,
right.
Et cetera. That's not the case with this.
Okay.
You still have to, because we have a thing called consolidated billing, the alternate energy supplier is not going to give you a separate bill. So, okay. but that's really what that is, and you can shop. CAP customers cannot.
Okay.
CAP customers have to have PICO as their energy supplier, but all other customers can shop. The only thing that I would say is just be mindful of the price. And we have you can go to the PUC's website, PICO mm-hmm. price to compare, to see how much you're paying versus what the PICO price to compare is. So just shop around if you like, but CAP customers cannot.
Well, Patricia, you're giving us a plethora of information here. As we wind down the program, mm-hmm. anyone looking for more information, how would they go about doing so?
Please reach out to us. You can call us at 1-800-774-7040. You can also go online at pico.com/help, and all of the assistance programs are listed there.
Well, Patricia, I'd like to thank you for being our guest here today on Community Connections.
Thank you.
Patricia King, our guest here on Community Connections, from all of us here at UMGA Television. I'm Chuck Curlin. Thank you for watching.